May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another Kuke Audio Podcast. I'm DC Pupa of Kuke Audio and Kuke Archives. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable, free from economic hardship, and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. So today we've got another episode of Life in Bali, and we will be talking with Lisa Latif, who has a lovely little flower shop not far from here, the Bali Florist, on Danau Toba, if anybody knows where that is. Danau Toba near the Sindhu Market in Sanur. I think you'll enjoy hearing what she has to say. So let's just give her a call right now.
Hello.
Aha. Lisa.
Yes, David. How are you?
I'm great. It was very nice meeting you today at Club Sayat.
Oh, same here. Thank you. And it was really nice to bump into you.
Yeah. And then Katrinka, my wife, was there, and she recognized you because she knows you from your flower shop, which is, what's it called?
Okay, we have a small flower shop called The Bali Florist. So very simple, easy to search online. And we are located in the main area of Sanur, which is the eastern part of Bali.
Yeah, you're located on Jalan Toba, huh? Danau Toba.
That's correct.
So Danau Toba is a very short street, and it's right near the Sindhu Pasar, the Sindhu Market.
And that's correct.
We're on Toba a lot. We used to live a block from there.
Oh, how awesome.
Yeah, down the back road to the Bali Beach Hotel, you know, Jalan Wira.
Yeah. Yeah.
Katrinka has been in your shop, and she really likes it a lot, and she likes you. So how did you get into the flower business?
Oh, well, it's long story short, about almost 4 years ago, I was always looking for flowers for a friend of mine who was going through some hard times, and obviously in Sanur, and I just couldn't find that florist or shop that sells flowers that is warm, welcoming, and, you know, I had a really nice taste in flowers, like something different every week or something like that. Mm-hmm. So because I couldn't find that in the area, I said, you know what, why not make one? So there it is.
And, you know, Katrinka had a flower business in America. She might have mentioned to you.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. She didn't have a store. She did events, and she was managing a restaurant. Mm. She continued that. You know, doing weddings and different events. She really likes it here because flowers are so much cheaper.
Yes and no, I guess. There's some flowers that are cheaper and also some flowers that we have to import, which are obviously much more expensive than what you might find in Europe or in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Locally.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, importing flowers. I mean,
yeah.
How is that done? Or are they frozen?
Well, let's rewind a bit and maybe talk about the local flowers and what our philosophy is.
Yes, yes, do.
The Bali Florist is really, it's not just about selling flowers. It's also about welcoming the community, whether it's surrounding community or even especially those who are overseas through our website. So as you know, Bali is a very international island.
Yeah.
A lot of people from abroad have moved here or are temporarily here, and they have families overseas. So one of the things that, because my background is digital marketing, one of the things that I wanted to focus on from the beginning is that not only to have a flower shop that's welcoming to be in, but also accessible from those who are overseas, meaning they can book our flowers from overseas to be sent to anybody of their family members or friends within the island. What that means is that they can access our website, book directly, pay easily, hassle-free, and we communicate with them via WhatsApp or email to let them know that the flowers are going, this is what we have, and this is what has been delivered.
Yeah.
So it's a personalized service whether you're coming to the store or you are somewhere in Ireland, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so our philosophy or our module from the beginning is really to create that long-lasting relationship with our customers and also suppliers.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's really as simple as that. Now, going back to the types of flowers that we offer, of course, as part of our effort to be more sustainable, we prioritize on getting local flowers, not only from Indonesia, but especially from Bali. So in central Bali, there's a place called Bedugul. It's more in the highlands.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the... I'm sure you know that, David, and you've been there probably a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Bedugul, they actually have small-scale farms or nurseries, floral nurseries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as high-tech as what you find in Europe or in the US or even in the UK. However, we've gotten a lot of the roses. We've gotten dahlias, alstroemerias, and a few of the cooler region flowers delivered to us. Typically, a lot of the Bali florists have gotten those types of flowers from West Java or Bandung.
Oh.
And also from Puncak area of closer to the Jakarta region, but in the highlands.
Mm.
They are usually good quality, but the problem is that the handling of those flowers coming to Bali is so bad that by the time it gets to Bali, the quality suffers.
Mm.
Yeah, especially roses. So that's why the flowers that we want to have locally, we prioritize on coming from Bedugul. However, there are some downside to that. Number one is consistency in quantity, consistency in quality, you know, whether it's long stem, short stem, and also sometimes you never know what you get. Yeah, so those are the local flowers situation.
Give me the names of the flowers. What type of flowers do you get from Bedugul? I love Bedugul because it's great for walking.
Right.
You know, you can walk through woods there. And when I go to the, what do they call it, the Kebun Raya or something?
Yeah.
Sort of like National Botanical Garden.
That's correct, David. Kebun Raya Bedugul is where... I've only been there maybe three times, so I haven't been there recently. That's where they also have the strawberries and also the orchid sort of museum, orchid garden in there, which many people know. Yeah. So going back to your question, flowers that we get from Bedugul are mainly semi-Holland roses. Semi-Holland means that it's a Holland, a Dutch breed, but it's locally grown.
Yeah.
And they come in short stem as well as long stem. And then we've also gotten really good dahlias, mainly white. And then other flowers we have are tuber roses, which are usually used by Balinese a lot for ceremonies, and they smell really nice. That's from Bedugul. And I find the best ones from Bedugul because they don't cut them while they're still, you know, small and young. They cut them when they're just about to be ripen, and they smell amazing in the evening. Then other flowers, I think I mentioned alstroemerias. We've got them in mainly peach color. We've also got a lot of gladiolus. That's more of this really long stem type of flowers. I'm not sure if they're really tropical. But they're quite hardy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the nice thing about a lot of the flowers from Bedugul is that after they cut, they still, bloom. They don't stop blooming.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Yeah.
What about gardenias?
Gardenias, we mainly get the gardenia, what do you call that, leaves. Not so much the flowers. Nobody has offered gardenia flowers. It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah. I love the smell of gardenia.
Yes, I wish we can get them too. I've only seen them in white. Do they exist in any other colors? I don't think so, right?
I know, I only know white. But I'm not, I don't necessarily notice, you know, like a drink of wood, but that does sound right. I love gardenia. I wrote a song called Gardenia once.
Oh, you did? How awesome.
Yeah. I've bought flowers at the market there, at Cindy Market. We used to live, you know, a 5-minute walk from it. And I'd go there twice a week with a backpack and get produce and fruit. And I'd get, let's see, what is Suribu called in English?
Suribu means 1,000?
Yeah, the flower.
Suribu or Sedap Malam?
No, Sedap Malam is...
Tuberoses.
Yeah, tuberoses. They call Suribu, that's the big blue ones that are...
Oh, hydrangeas.
Hydrangea, yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And I'd get a whole bunch of them. And I'd get marigolds.
Right. Marigolds are also good. Yeah.
Gumiter, right? Gumiter.
Gumiter is marigold, correct.
Yeah.
So both hydrangeas are normally grown in the cooler regions. So they get them in Verdugo. And they're actually good for ceremonies because they don't really put them in vases per se. They leave them to dry in offerings, correct? Just like marigolds. I have tried having them at the store, but they just don't last long.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of competition with that because that's the main thing they sell at the Cinder Market. Is marigolds and hydrangea. And I'd go there and buy, you know, a large amount of both. Well, I mean, we just lived in an apartment near there. Let's see, what else did they have? Oh, yeah, the Balinese like those little colored flowers. They'll put them in water and stuff. And
right.
They use them a lot for offerings. What are those called?
That's a good question. They have different pinks, purples, sometimes a little bit reddish, salmon and whites, right? I think they call them locally bunga kertas or paper flowers.
Bunga kertas would be paper flower, right. I've heard that.
But I'm not sure if that's officially the right flower name.
So you don't deal in that stuff. I'm so used to seeing that. What about orchids? I love orchids.
Orchids, we do sell a lot. A few of our portfolio items are comprising of a bouquet with a stem of kind of dangling orchid. A stem of dangling orchid could be in white, purple, or even white with purple stripes. But we also sell an ensemble of three, five, or eight orchids in a round pot.
Now, are these orchids that are still growing and you can water them and they'll last?
Yes. So the ones that come still in their pot or with their root, it will continue to grow because we also have a care instructions if you order something like that. So they have to be watered, and it usually is housed in a pot that has it has holes so that there's a little bit of breathing. It doesn't rot inside the pot. That's very important.
I just got a couple of orchids. You know, the big orchid sort of warehouse over there on Hangtua?
Yep.
I stop by there like every once every few months and get a couple of orchids. And I just got some, and our gardener was going to replant them. I have them in pots that have no, that don't breathe. Okay. I guess I should do something about that. But because we're going to Batucaru on Wednesday, yeah. I told him not to come this week.
Okay.
I've got to do you think they'd be all right for another week?
Well, they can't be dry. That's for sure.
No, we water them. Yeah. We water them.
Oh, okay. Okay, you mean, are you saying that they will be alone without even you for a week?
Well, no, Arpambantu will come here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's fine. The other way is to take it out of the pot and just let it sit somewhere in the garden. And when the Pambantu, when your helper waters them, it drains downwards. But just make sure it's not sitting in the direct sunlight.
It can't sit in direct sunlight in our garden. Yeah. There is no sun.
There is no, okay.
It doesn't have enough sunlight because we never can get them to bloom again. We even give them, I buy this special fertilizer and stuff to make them bloom at that big orchid place.
Yeah.
And she puts that stuff on the way they said, and you know, every once in a while one will bloom again.
Yeah, it's challenging to get it to rebloom. When we have to cut the orchid from its root for an arrangement, for example, I normally take the root home and attach it to the frangipani tree.
Yeah.
You know, with the coconut husk out on the outside.
Yeah.
And that sometimes helps.
Yes.
However, the problem is that we've got critters, like these really tiny snails. They keep on biting off the new leaves. So there's another problem.
we do have orchids in coconut shell on our frangipani trees. And we had one last year about right now, one that had been there that rebloomed. Mm-hmm. And one right next to it rebloomed.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like suddenly it just pops up, right? Without
right.
even noticing.
And there were like about 8 or 10 flowers in the tube. And
amazing.
They were like sticking out into like the courtyard for 4 months. 4 months.
Wow.
They were incredible from beginning to end. So that was a world record here.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, I love orchids. So maybe I'll drop by your store and see what you've got sometime.
Yes, please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah. Have you covered the flowers that you get locally?
Well, for regular seasons, like non-peak Valentine's seasons, mm-hmm. We normally get the Badugul ones sufficient for the local flower supply. However, on my website, we do mention that there are certain varieties that we have to get from overseas. For example, like tulips, peonies. Or even Ecuadorian roses, it's just undeniably a breed that you can't get anywhere else.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And we are not an importer, so we buy through a supplier that imports for as a business.
Right.
Yeah, because, of course, if you import from the Netherlands, the biggest wholesaler in the world, a flower wholesaler in the world, you need to have certain licenses, you need to have a cooler in Jakarta, you need to have the right channels for quarantine, etc. So it's big business, I think, everywhere in the world, right, whoever can import flowers.
Yeah.
So we just buy them through a supplier here. There are a couple of suppliers in Bali that import flowers from mainly from the Netherlands, but as you may be aware, or I'm sure Katrinka is aware, that the flowers that come to the main wholesaling place in the Netherlands are coming from all over the world, from Kenya, Ecuador, everywhere else, Central, South America, even different parts of Europe. So they're all pooled there because that's really the biggest, and it's a multi-million euro business that comes through the floral wholesaler in the Netherlands.
Are you saying that they'll go from Ecuador to Amsterdam before they come here?
Yes, correct. That's where they're all pooled.
Well, how do they keep?
That's the things that Indonesian farmers or floral farmers need to learn on how to manage the supply properly. Number one is having the right nursery. Number two is having the right handling, which includes perhaps certain fertilizers, certain boxes, packaging, and also educating the people who are handling the flowers. And it's amazing. I've never visited myself a European or I don't know where, maybe an American wholesaler where they produce these very professionally, but I've seen it on YouTube and how they handle it. It's unbelievable. From the selection of breeds or of new what do you call them when they're not even the seeds, starting from the seedling up to how they are being cared for, up to how they are cut, what gets rejected, what gets accepted and go for exports, up to the handling and even how they are put in a box upright as opposed to, dumped horizontally like they do here in Indonesia, coming from Java to Bali without any water. I wouldn't want to be the bottom of that truck.
It sounds like there's an opening for someone to open a really well-run, high-quality flower importing business from Java to Bali.
Yeah, there is definitely an opportunity there. It's not easy. I think it really requires somebody who knows not only about botany, but also about, the anthropology of farming in general. It's all about people, right, at the end of the day?
Yeah. You want to do business here, I wouldn't want to do it. you really got to have connections, the right connections. You've got to understand who you have to deal with in what way. Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure it's complicated. And I pity foreigners who try to do business here.
I think, mind you, the level of average education has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah.
Long-term relations sometimes is not viewed as, people don't have patience in general, right? We all are into instant gratification, right?
Right.
So if you can sell your roses to the next door farmer quickly tomorrow rather than wait until they're full bloom, wait for the peak, bloom of it and get higher money, they're probably just easier. It's like, you know what? I'm going to chop it off now and sell 10 bunches to the next load of truck that's coming instead of waiting for the best time. You know what I mean? That's a bit of the mentality. What I can get now, I will get.
Yeah.
And I've heard also that it's also the problem with the coffee farmers here. It's very similar.
Oh.
Indonesia has the best coffee, but why is it not as famous as, let's say, Ethiopia or Brazil coffee? It's all about the people, right? Yeah. Anyway, that's off topic.
No, that's on topic. Well, you're talking about people developing a way of doing things that's really takes care, attention to detail, and that sort of that can evolve.
Yes, correct.
Indonesians, Balinese, Javanese, they're capable of doing that. They just need the right guidance and the right, you know, the right things to come together to get into that.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, as an Indonesian, I tell you, I've learned a lot from, I'm not a Balinese, I'm from Jakarta, but as a fellow Indonesians, we've learned a lot from each other as well as from our friends from overseas, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we just have to be open, I think, and not be defensive.
And you know, I have some friends. I'm from Texas, Fort Worth, Texas. Although Katrinka was from New York, and we both went to San Francisco when we
were
very, very young, you know, and
mm-hmm.
When she was 17 or something, when I was 21, in the 60s, mid-60s. And but I still have ties to old friends in Fort Worth, Texas. And some friends of mine have a very substantial orchid business in Fort Worth, Texas, and are nationally, internationally known orchid specialists. So when they came here, you know who Martha Stewart is?
Yes.
Yeah, she's visited their place several times.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're really fanatics. They have an enormous amount of orchids. I mean, they have like warehouses of orchids they're amazing. Anyway, if they come back, I'll take them to your place. But I took them to this orchid garden. Like, you know, what's the name of that highway? You know, like you're going to Chandi Dasa?
Ida Bagus Mantra?
Yeah, isn't it right before that starts? There's an orchid garden there on the left.
On the left.
Do you know about it?
Remember.
Oh.
Maybe I might not be aware of it.
Oh, wow, you should go. They were extremely impressed with it. And the people that were running it, I think it was owned by Australians, but there were no Australians there. It was local people. And they were talking and spoke English and spoke with Barry and Dottie. And they were just speaking their private orchid language. Were very impressed with what they saw there. Yeah, mm-hmm. You might want to go there. It costs $100,000 to get in.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's sort of like an orchid park, right?
Right, right. It cost them $100,000. With a Kitas, I could get in for less. Yeah, so anyway, all right. So you're from Jakarta. And and you went to college in New Orleans.
Yes, I did.
How did that come about?
Oh, it's a long story, but let me do a mini version. So after I got out of high school in Jakarta, my mom set me up with a lady who had a private student exchange program. So I went to Vermont for a year to do an extra year of high school. And during that extra year, I looked up for scholarships, international student scholarships around the U.S., and after applying here and there, the one that I got through to a full scholarship was University of New Orleans, thankfully.
Yeah, cool.
That's why
you're
I
lucky. That's a very cool city to live in. I have lived there.
I know. I had no idea what to expect coming from Jakarta to Vermont, where you see cows on the side of the highways from a big city. That was a shock, but I was very open, so I was very grateful.
Yeah.
And then I stayed with a family there. So I had a host family, wonderful family, just like my own. I treat them. And after a year in Vermont, went to New Orleans and stayed there for 6 years. I did my undergrad and graduate in the same school, university, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I met my husband in New Orleans as well, but he's German, not American.
Your name is Lisa Latif.
Yes.
So is Latif his name?
No, Latif is my maiden name.
Yeah, not very German.
Yeah. No, not very German. His last name is also not very German. It's more Polish. But in Indonesia, it's not... Maybe by now is more common, but during my mother's time and even my time, it's not very common to change your name to your husband's name, last name.
Yeah.
And it's a bit more complicated to change your ID here, so... It was not in the books.
And I know names are very different here from what I'm used to in the West.
Yes, correct.
Balinese don't have family names. A lot of people in Java don't have family names.
That's correct, yes.
They just have names. And it'll be funny. Everybody in the family will have a different first and second name.
That's right.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
I know one Balinese man I'm pretty close with. He's a driver, an out-of-work driver, whose wife is our housekeeper, our Pembantu. And he's named one of his kids with the same second name that he has.
Oh, wow.
Because he'd been around foreigners a lot, so he... Sort of like that idea.
I'm surprised there's no junior 1, 2, 3, 4 being picked up.
Yeah.
After a while.
Yeah. Names here are so interesting. Balinese names are so interesting. Huh. Well, I immediately knew when I saw your name you weren't Balinese. Lisa Latif. Is your family Christian?
We're actually Muslim. My late father is from West Sumatra, so that's a very Muslim. Latif is actually an Arabic name.
Oh, I see. Because Western-looking names are frequently Christian. That's why I just wanted to say Lisa.
No problem. Yeah, Lisa is a very, it's like Elizabeth, right?
Right.
Or a lot of Russians are known as Lisa, or Lisa is short for other long Russian names. But mm-hmm. I don't know. My mom decided maybe Lisa Minnelli. I have no idea.
Oh, right.
Because that's her time.
Right. How long were you in America?
For a total 6 years in university and 1 year in high school, so 7.
And your husband and you speak English at home?
Yes, we do. My son is speaking a little bit of Indonesian, a little bit of German, but most his native tongue is English.
Yeah, it's so great. Kids growing up in a bilingual, trilingual, in a trilingual home.
we wish we were a bit more strict. And you know how some families have some mix. Families would, let's say the mother speaks in the native tongue with the son only, and then the father speaks in his native tongue with the son, and therefore that the kids can really speak three good languages. So we missed that boat.
That's a little artificial. That's hard to do. Yeah. Well, that's all really interesting. I know you've got to go to a dinner.
Well, thank you for having me, David. And I hope to see you around in Sanur or come by because we have a new cafe attached to the florist.
Oh, really? Really? Well, yeah. Definitely. You know, one reason is you're a very friendly person who's fun to talk with.
Oh, thank you. You too, David.
And I'm not interested in speaking English with Indonesians unless I'm interested in them. Because... I find it fun to speak Indonesian with them because that's how I learn.
I was hearing you shop today. I was impressed.
Oh, long way to go. I love language, but I only get so good, you know. There's a thing, it's called getting fossilized. You just stop at a certain point, don't learn more.
Oh, I think you're doing so great, much better than me and my German, that's for sure. And you're living here, you know, you have to, right? I've never lived
No,
in
that's
Germany.
Not true. You don't have to. And most people, most foreigners don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you pick it up so easily. Some people are just quick, you know, like you know what to say. You even had the grocery list in Indonesian.
Oh yeah, yeah. I do everything great. In Indonesian I can. You know, I talk to my dog in Indonesian. But our dog's bilingual. We haven't ruined it.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, there's different types of people. I have a son. He does exactly what I do. He starts mm-hmm. learning in the airport as soon as he arrives.
Oh, wow.
You know, anywhere I go, I want to learn immediately how to say hello, thank you, a few things. And people love it. And then it's a way to relate to them. And one thing about Indonesia is people here are very helpful. Now, Germany, your husband's from Germany, they're not so helpful.
I do not disagree.
Yeah, right. They'll start criticizing. And I've spent time studying German because I was there. And so I'd study it every day, and I'd go out and try to use it. But they'll start correcting your pronunciation when you're trying to learn your first word, you know?
Oh, and, yeah.
It's not that bad.
They're special.
It's not that bad. And I've lived in Japan, and look, there's nothing like living here. People are extremely helpful. You know?
Yeah, Bali especially, it's you feel that warmth, right, on the streets. Both my husband and I, we feel we're pretty blessed to be able to live here.
Yeah.
And we're not living in a touristy area or, you know, fancy neighborhood or anything, but we love it.
Yeah.
We love the quiet. We love the locals living next to us, and
yeah.
We love the dogs on the streets, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's something, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the people I deal with are Indonesian, but, you know, we have a lot of Western friends and stuff, but don't really socialize that much. Most of it's sort of practical stuff, but it's fun. Yeah, I agree with you. It's great to live here. I don't plan to leave, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, I also plan, I'm on Jalan. Oh, Danau Toba.
Okay.
The street you're on. It's called Lake Toba. Right? Danau
yeah,
Toba.
Right.
There's all these streets named Danau. I'm there a lot. Because I established relationships with some people near there because we live there. And so I'll be there once a week or once every 2 weeks. So I'm going to stop by your store. What are your hours?
The cafe, which is attached to the florist, opens from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the florist is officially open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So they both close at the same time.
Yeah, 7 a.m., that's early.
Yes, we are more catering to those early parents or kids who want to be dropped off at school or at friend's house. And, you know, for those who are looking for just coffee after their drop off, or anyone who's finished with their walks on the beach and they want to have coffee before they
right.
go to their car
right.
somewhere.
Right.
We like the morning crowd.
That's
I think
cool.
it's a good start.
That's
it's
cool.
a good start of the day. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And that area is very quiet after 5 p.m. anyway, so there's no reason for us to stay open late. You know, gives our staff, I also like that our staff gets a lot of rest.
You know? Right.
That's important.
Right. Well, all right. Well, and until we meet again, thanks a lot, Lisa. Really
Thank you,
it.
David. Yeah, have a good evening and week, and stay well, safe.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you too.
I'll see you around. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So thank you very much, Lisa Latif of The Bali Florist. That's a nice name, The Bali Florist. I love flower shops. I love flowers. But I usually don't know what to call them. Anyway, I appreciated learning what I learned from you, and I appreciated talking with you. And I look forward to seeing your flower shop and your little eatery there that's connected. Okay. So until next time, this is DC Pooba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sonora with Doggy Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. We're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.